Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, February 20th. I'm getting ahead of myself here. 2025. My God, February is almost over. I can't believe it. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us, as always, on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, man with a very strong beer opinion that we talked about a little bit here earlier on the kickoff show. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, a man destined to go through a barbershop window just because he likes a beer that I don't like. Jason, sir, how are you?
Listen, man, just don't disrespect Pabst Blue Ribbon, okay? That's a workhorse beer, okay?
You guys will hear at the end of this episode, I disrespected the hell out of it. But then I called myself out. And last but never least, what, Jason?
I'm just still in disbelief that you would disrespect a beer as solid and dependable as Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, what are you turning this into, a fucking advertisement for PBR? You give it, they need free advertisement, Jason. Is that what you're saying?
They do. You know, their margins are paper thin because the cans are only $1.99 at some convenience stores.
All right, let's move on to the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the man with the golden shovel, Ray Cash's daddy, and the king of the power nap, Rob, sir, how are you?
All right, and when I drink beer, I drink Corona like Dom Toretto.
I said something about PBR in the kickoff show about PBR being the drink for beer drinkers who don't really drink beer but want to look like they do. Corona's on that Mount Rushmore as well, sir.
Well, see, in certain ethnic communities like mine, Corona is actually drunk bad. A lot of people drink Corona, okay?
A lot of people drink Corona. See, as a white person, I look at it like you're drinking that because you want to look trendy. Yeah, but I'm looking at white people like that, so. it's kind of like Bex. You know, you don't actually drink beer. You drink it Beck's because it was, well, I don't know if Beck's is still a thing now, but I know probably when I was clubbing heavily, man, Beck's was like the go-to beer for guys who didn't really normally drink.
Oh, okay. Because when I was in college, we just drank cheap shit. Like there was no, yeah, we drank Boone's Farm and Mad Dog 2020 and shit like that.
I have not. Is that stuff any good? Like, I'm asking this because all my black friends used to talk about it. It was cheap.
You could get a bottle about this big of Boone's Farm for $2.50, okay?
Oh, man.
And so you had $5, you get two of them, okay?
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I thought me and my bougie friends were the only ones keeping Michelob Light and Michelob Ultra in business back in the day.
Because look, you know, it was either you either get the cheap stuff, or if you were really adventurous, you would get some of the Shit, they might have a skull and crossbones on the bottle, like 211 or something. Oh,
God. See, I don't know how you guys did with, like, you know, because I know Rob did the college experience. I think Jason did the college experience. I did not, but I had a lot of roommates. And the biggest thing that I had to worry about was your roommate drinking your shit. So my plan was to get the shit that I knew nobody else would drink. Unfortunately for me, and I'm really outing myself here, it was Zima.
Oh, hey, I had some of that. It was not bad.
You had some of that. Thinking back, it was like licking your own armpit, but back then, I'm like, okay, I like this. Nobody else is touching it. At least I know that my six-pack will still be there when I go to get it.
It's funny because, I mean, we shared, and we kind of pooled all our money, and we just shared shit, and so you got to try different things. But Crazy Horse was good.
Crazy Horse, okay.
That was good. Yeah.
It was Zima for a little while, then it was Michelob Light, then Michelob Ultra, and then Dollar Beer Night at the clubs.
Okay.
Which was probably Natty Light.
We did Absolute, like, shots of Absolute.
Oh, God. Ew.
Yeah, that sounds terrible. Now, that was something you drank because you were trying to be cool. And that shit was terrible. Okay. You're trying to be cool, taking shots of Absolute, and that shit felt like fire going down your throat, and it didn't taste good. But it, you know, you were trying to be cool, and it was that bad.
Ugh. Jason, how about you in your, like, regular party days? What was your go-to?
So when I first started drinking, I was a sweet tooth, like, baby drinker. I was drinking Smirnoff Ices if we were at home doing beers or whatever. And then at the clubs, I was drinking Midori Sours, which are still delicious, by the way. Then I finally did graduate to beer. And then I tasted Sam Adams. And once I started doing different flavors and types of Sam Adams, I was like, oh, beer is really good. And, you know, I drank beer at that point. So yeah. I had a fairly linear path, but I still enjoyed when I was out at the club, I would enjoy a vodka tonic. A good absolute and tonic was my go-to.
Yeah. Now, see, I never had the money to do like mixed drink. For a while when, you know, I upgraded my lifestyle a little bit, it was rum and Cokes, like rum and Coke, rum and Coke, rum and Coke. That was it. But for the longest time, it was strictly beer. Going back before then in my underage drinking days, Rob, you remember Bartles and James?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Never had one. I remember the commercials.
Yeah, so you never had the Bartles and James?
Never had it, but I remember the commercials.
Yeah, no, they were not great. I mean, it was what we had and is what, you know, my friend's mom would buy us. But, God, I think back some of the stuff, I'm like, oh, God, how did we ever?
Because my parents were wine drinkers. My dad would drink like Manischewitz.
Oh, God. Nah, my dad was beer. He, again, kept Coors Light in business single-handedly, I think, back in the day. So,
good for him.
Anyway, we did not come here to talk to you about our alcoholic endeavors and our early to mid-20s party lifestyle. We came here to talk wrestling. This is a wrestling podcast, although I do like the occasional diversion. We had a big weekend for wrestling. We are going to start off here. Rob had boots on the ground for SmackDown last week. He was supposed to go to NXT Vengeance Day. I'm going to let Rob take the floor and tell us what happened here.
Okay, so Friday, I went to SmackDown. And I will say, we've talked before about how going to TV is very hit and miss. And, you know, depending, you know, because if it's just a regular episode where nothing big happens, then it can be a downright awful experience. So I was fortunate that this time some stuff did happen.
Yeah, you got fed Friday night, man.
Yes. So I got there and... So I got there maybe about 15 minutes before the show started. And so they had a speed match. It was Zoe Stark and Shotzi. And I haven't really watched any of the speed matches, but this is my first time really watching one. And they did really well, and they got, you know, they went about 2.5 minutes, and they got a whole match which was worth of, you know, work in. So, I mean, it didn't feel like, you know, it didn't feel like abrupt or anything like that. You know,
speed matches are highly underrated, man. People are sleeping on those things, and it's a shame.
And yeah, I mean, if you have somebody like, especially somebody like Zoe in there who can definitely run through a bunch of things in short order.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they had a good 2.5 minute match, and Zoe won that. And so that's how we got started. And then, the show proper started, and something started with Cody and Drew McIntyre in the ring. You know, they were talking at each other, and then Jacob and Tama Tonga came out there. And let me tell you, man, every time Jacob came out there, the building was chanting Fatu.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
They've created a monster.
Yeah. Like, no matter who he was standing across the ring from, he came out there when Cody and Drew were out there, they were chanting Fatu. When he was in the main event later. So he's going to be one of those, he's going to be one of those guys like the Undertaker and the Road Warriors where, he might be a bad guy, but he beats the shit out of people, and he's so fucking cool that, you know, they're not going to boo him.
He's going to do what Braun would still be doing on a regular basis if Braun's knees were still, you know, working.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, he's the next monster.
Yeah. And so, they did that, and then, so Jacob and Tama left because they saw Solo pulling up, and, you know, they went out, and so they went to go find him. And then, what was next? So the first match was Chelsea and Naomi. It was for one of the last spots in the Elimination Chamber. And Naomi won, which normally, yay, we're happy for Naomi to win, but then there's, I think we've talked about this in our chats, the logic or lack thereof of having your mid-card champions in these qualifying matches and then having them lose. So.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a, you know, 6-1, half a dozen the other kind of situation there. And then from there, then I became one of those people because. Here's what happened. So the Machine Guns came out there, and they were going against Los Garza, and
The I-5 is backed up at this time of night.
I had to go. I needed.
You disgust me.
I had to go. I'm sorry.
What'd you do?
I went to the concession stand. So I did that, but I caught the end of the match. I got back in time to catch the end of the match.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you were gonna leave.
Oh no, I'm not gonna leave that early. No,
because you've been known to leave shows early to beat traffic, and I disrespect every time.
Yeah, dude, I feel like at this point we're only 20 minutes in. You better not have left.
Look, if I'm gonna leave the show at 8:30, then I just ain't going. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Hey, you made some questionable decisions in the past, so carry on with your story then. Sorry.
Okay. So, all right.
What's your concession? Skittles?
I just got something to drink. Yeah, because I was in a really cramped seat. I had a good seat as far as seeing things, but it was also really cramped. So, and I was in the middle of the row. So I didn't want to have to walk past a bunch of people with some damn popcorn spilling all over.
Yeah, right.
And so they that came and went, and then also the Miz and LA Knight had a promo thing, and they had a match. And let me just say, every time I see the Miz wrestle in person, I am more appreciative of him because that guy, especially in front of a live crowd, that guy knows how to work the crowd in the building.
Yeah.
And it may not always translate on TV, but that guy can work the crowd in the building like as good as anybody.
I think Miz hate is forced.
Well, it's because he doesn't do a bunch of complicated stuff and all of that, and he's
that's an in the bubble thing.
It, absolutely.
It really is.
I've seen
he got a goddamn TV show. He and his wife got a goddamn TV show. You know, that wasn't just for us, guys. That's how they get people like my wife.
Yeah.
So.
And I've seen him at several house shows. And like I said, that dude, he can, he absolutely can work a crowd in the building.
You know? He can work any crowd he wants. Yeah. It's same here. I've seen, every time I've seen him, he can get the crowd going at a moment's notice.
Yeah. And then so LA Knight won that one. And then we got to, so what came after that? Oh, and then Jacob and Solo were backstage, and that's where, you know, so we definitely have some rising tension between Jacob and Solo. And we, you know, don't know how that's going to play out just, you know, over time, but it's definitely bubbling up, and it's definitely going to, at some point, it's going to explode.
Yeah.
We had... Oh, Trish Stratus was in the building, and they talked. She was sitting in the front row, and they talked to her for a few minutes. And you know, she said she's going to be in Toronto for the Chamber show and everything. And then, so then they had Tiffany and Nia Jax. It was a rematch for the women's title, and they had a really good match going. And now, Nia during the commercial break. Now I didn't know this was during the commercial break, but until I heard about it, and I found out later. But like she was getting heat during the commercial break, and she was doing the Hulk Hogan hand to the ear thing. And she was having a lot of fun out there. And so, I mean, they had a really good match going. And then Tiffany was about to look like she was about to win. And Candice LeRae interfered, DQ. And then, Trish Stratus came in and helped. And then, Nia and Candice got the better of Trish and Tiffany. And, Trish went to the back. And they laid Tiffany out, and as they're going to the back, they hit the music, and out comes the 14 time women's champion. And this was, I thought this was outstanding, because she came out there, and she picked up a chair. I thought she was going to whack Tiffany with it, but no, she unfolds a chair, and she just casually sits down, and just kind of, mocks Tiffany a little bit, and just says, yeah, I'm choosing you. I'll see you at WrestleMania. And
the visual on that was excellent. Like the camera work on TV, that played out so well on TV.
And I thought it was the perfect way to do it because, I mean, some people didn't see the forest for the tree. Some people thought, oh, well, they're doing a double turn because they booed Charlotte the night after the Royal Rumble. Blah, blah, blah. Like, guys, okay, the night before the Royal Rumble, Nia and Candice beat the shit out of Tiffany and left her lame. Okay. So that was your babyface turn right there.
Yeah. They've been the babyface turn with Tiffany has been coming for months.
Yeah, and they had
Decide this just because Charlotte got booed on Raw. Get out of here.
Yeah. So and also a few months ago, Tiffany had been playing nice with Rhea Ripley and whatnot. And so they've been heading in this direction. I'm sure they know good and well. They saw the people who were cheering for Tiffany and knew good and well that they weren't going to stop. Okay.
Right.
And they also know that, and I'm sure Charlotte is, as she has mentioned many a time, she prefers being a heel and she's better at being a heel and all that stuff. So, and this was the perfect way to, to reintroduce her that way. And so from there, then it was main event time, and it was Jacob versus Braun versus Damian Priest. And that was, that was some wild stuff, man.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately for me, most of the action was on the other side of the ring from where I was sitting. So, and if you sit close to the ring, that is the one thing that can screw everything up is if they're doing all the stuff on the other side.
Well, you, from the pictures you took, it looked like you were a little bit closer to the entrance ramp, but on the opposite side of the hard cam.
Yes.
Okay. Anything that happened over by the announce table, you probably didn't see very well.
And they spent a lot of time over by the announce table.
Yeah.
And so, and then of course everything went broke down and went crazy. And, I think Tama came out there and Cody came out there and Solo came out there. And I think Solo accidentally spiked Jacob
mm-hmm.
outside the ring. And then, so then back in the ring, Priest, you know, actually he hit his finisher on Braun and won the match to go into the chamber. And apparently some people on Twitter were not happy about that. I don't know why. Guys,
who knows?
Look, Damian Priest he's one of those, he's not main eventer, but he's kind of in that upper tier now. So he is going to be winning matches to go in the Elimination Chamber. He's going to be doing that kind of thing. Okay.
Damian Priest is a made man, guys.
Yeah.
And that's a little side road we can take real quick. When did the hate for Damian Priest start? Because I've seen more and an increasing amount of that on my timeline, and I just don't get it. The guy's been a workhorse since he came to the main roster.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The answer, DJ, is the same as it is with 90% of these cases. They're fickle.
Yeah.
That's literally it. It's like, okay, he's been doing the same thing for a while, and we don't, so.
Like, I always hear is push somebody different. Push somebody different. Damian Priest is as different as you're going to get of anybody that WWE has pushed in the last, I couldn't tell you how long, and you don't like that either.
Yeah, well, I guess because, you know, he had his Roman the World title and he didn't turn into like Roman or Cody, right? He didn't get that big. So I guess some
not
people,
everybody has to be.
No, but I guess some
everybody
people,
does. Like Roman and Cody. I mean, Roman and Cody are warping people's senses right now because people need to understand they're two of the best to do it in this generation.
Yeah.
Like across all companies, they're two of the best to do it in this generation. So yeah, unfortunately, the guy who was carrying the title on the other show was always going to look less than. I think they successfully got that new title to like a point where I'm like, okay, I don't look at it as big gold, like the second place trophy. It's just Raw's world title, which they got it to that point. And Damian Priest was a huge part of that. That's not nothing. Like you guys are saying, he's a made man.
It's just, so I don't know. I guess maybe some people are done with him now because he didn't get all the way up there. I don't know.
Well, it's ignorance.
It's just too damn bad because Damian, you know what? We're full speed ahead, baby. And if he somehow doesn't make it into the chamber, and it's because he's probably going to be doing something really cool at WrestleMania, and it's going to be something different.
Well, I mean, he's in the chamber match. He's just,
if he doesn't, exactly. If he doesn't win this, like, and it's not going to be like the sky is falling, guys. He'll have a match at WrestleMania, I promise.
Yeah. So that was the show. And now while I was there, I got a chance to hook up with an old friend of mine who was there. And cause he did like my friend Chris, he did like a Facebook update and he was on the other side of the building. And I saw that and I was like, oh, you're here? I was like, well, I'm here too. And so after the show, we met out in the hallway and, my friend Chris, we became friends way back, like in the mid 80s. And
wow.
Yeah. So we met at a vacation Bible school. And
oh, cool.
Yeah. And so we exchanged numbers way back when we hung out and all that stuff and, you know, introduce mutual friends to each other and all that stuff. But then, of course, you know, everybody went their separate ways, went off to college and then all of that. And then, you know, through the magic of Facebook, we linked up again 10 years ago or whatever. And, you know, we talked to each other through there, but we never actually hadn't seen each other in person in forever. And so, yeah, we met up outside and, took pictures together and all that stuff. And, it was really cool to see. And that's one, that's one of the fun things about stuff like pro wrestling is, because, it gives you a chance. It's like any other activity, gives you a chance to meet up with people maybe you haven't seen in a while, or people who you know, didn't necessarily go to school with or anything, but people who you met over the years and stuff like that. And so it was just really fun and really cool to do that. And that was SmackDown. So I picked a good one, and I was fortunate this time around, to get to one of the better episodes. And now, yes, and I was supposed to go to NXT the next day. NXT was also in Washington, D.C. But Saturday afternoon, we got some rain and some snow, and it was really messy. And it was like an hour away from here to drive. And the arena in D.C. where the NXT show was, you have to drive and park. There's no, like, Metro doesn't go there. Whereas SmackDown was, Metro goes right there. So I took the subway right to the arena for SmackDown. But to go to the NXT thing, you had to drive. And so I looked outside like, you know what? Yeah. Don't think this is going to work.
The shoot bear made a business decision.
Yep. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to watch this one at home.
And we're going to talk about that one here later on tonight. Rob, sounds like you had a good time, though, and I'm glad you did, because I think weren't you kind of like going back and forth on whether or not you were even going to go?
Yeah, and look, because that's just how it is now, because unless, like, if it's in Baltimore, if they come to Baltimore, it's a no-brainer, because it's closer to here. Mm-hmm. But when they're in D.C., that's a good hour away from me, so, it becomes one of those things like, do I want to do this? I don't know.
God, I'm the same way, man. We've turned into such old men, Rob. We really have. TNA is taping at Full Sail University this weekend. I am literally less than an hour's drive away from Full Sail, and I talked myself out of going simply because I'm like, I don't want to drive all the way over there by myself. My girlfriend's really not interested, because I asked her about a week ago. I was like, so there's this show's going to be over in Orlando. She's like, I'm not going to Orlando on a Saturday night. Like, she didn't even like second guess. There wasn't even like a thought. It was like, I'm not going to Orlando on a Saturday night. And I'm like, I don't know that any of my boys want to go. And I don't know, they end up working weird hours anyway. I'm like, I don't want to go by myself. I mean, I could go by myself, I guess, but I'm like, I don't want to drive to Orlando by myself. So unfortunately, I'm going to miss out on TNA and the freaking two back-to-back shows, and they both sold out. So I'm like, the next time TNA goes to Full Sail, I'm going to bite the bullet and go, just because I think it'll be a good time. So
there you go.
Yeah. So I guess that brings us to NXT. So yeah, I made a decision to not do it. And look, honestly, for me, the deciding factor to go to SmackDown was that the 14-time women's champion was going to be there.
Yeah. And it's nice when they do that stuff ahead of time. There was a SmackDown, God, had to be back in, I think, July or August, it was in Orlando. And I was like, okay, SmackDown in Orlando. But I'm like, the last one I went to was just a show. Like, it wasn't bad, but nothing major happened. There were a couple really good matches, but there was nothing. The only distinction that I have of that SmackDown is that it was the last SmackDown that Vince McMahon, quote unquote, booked before he officially announced his retirement on Twitter. The first time, it was before they ran him out definitively. This was that morning he announced his retirement. So this was like the last SmackDown that he officially booked during that era. So it was like the only distinction. Other than that, it was just an episode. Like, nothing major happened, nothing big, no big returns, nothing like that. So when this one came around last year, I'm like, I don't know. And it's like, I could have gotten a really good ticket for probably like, I could have gotten two tickets for like $120 or something like that. It would have been really good seats. And I hemmed and hauled. And then the ticket prices started going up and up and up. And then finally they got to a point where I'm like, well, I ain't buying that. And then literally like a week later, oh, by the way, Roman Reigns is going to be there. I'm like, motherfuckers, you couldn't have announced that 2 months ago when I was looking at tickets? I mean, I understand that's how it works. You want to try and sell the building out. You want, yeah. So you want to make those announcements last. you know, last minute, but I'm literally sitting there looking at my phone like, you mother effers. So you never know. It's a crapshoot because they're not going to announce the big names until like the last week or two before the show. So next time I'll know, I'll just take a chance and hope that I, it's like any gamble. You hope you draw a good one.
Yeah. Cause I waited because when they started doing the vignettes for her to come back is when I bought my ticket. Cause then
yeah,
I figured, okay, well, yeah, she'll probably be there on this one. So,
and this being John Cena's last year, I'll take a chance. And if either Raw or SmackDown comes to Orlando, I'm going just in case that dude shows up.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, because me and Miles, you know, if he's going to be anywhere near around here, yeah, we're going to try to go catch him because the first show actually, the first house show I went to after I started watching again. Yeah, I took Miles with me, and he was in the main event against Kevin Owens. So,
oh, cool.
That was back in 2015. So if we can catch him one last time, that'd be really cool.
And that will be the first and probably only time that I ever catch John Cena. You know, unfortunately, you know, when I would have been going to house shows, I wasn't watching. And when I was watching and he was performing, I wasn't really a big fan at the time. So, yeah, definitely if they come to Orlando, then I'm definitely going to go. Just in the chance that he might be there. So NXT.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh, breaking news.
I'm watching TNA Impact Live, and the lights just went out, and who would appear but Elijah. He's here with his guitar and his bandanas and his beard and his
on
silly
TNA?
Hat.
I thought he just signed All Elite. Didn't he just join?
That was that'd be one of those fake news rumors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then whatever. I mean,
he was probably in the wind. So
yeah,
I understand the rumor. But yeah, apparently he's in TNA now.
That's a good pick for them. That's a good place for him.
Yeah, and that also means he might
end up back on NXT.
Over.
He might end up back on NXT. How funny is that? Yeah, there's going to be a conversation to be had about some of this stuff at some point down the road.
Oh, yeah.
But speaking of NXT.
So far, it's been pretty equitable from what I've seen.
Well, let's get into the NXT discussion. We had Vengeance Day this weekend. We've got what I thought was an excellent wrestling card to talk about. As is customary on this show, Jason's going to take over this portion and get us in here.
So first up, because we're going to get right into this, we have the NXT Women's North American Championship on the line. Stephanie Vaquer was fighting Fallon Henley for her championship, and Stephanie Vaquer was victorious. And Stephanie is just awesome. I love if she fits all my quotas. She's an awesome wrestler. She's just video gamey enough. You know, she's great. So strapping her up as soon as she got here, it makes perfect sense to me. And Fallon's probably going up to the main roster. So, yeah, great marks across the board there. Rob?
Same here. And, yeah, I figured Fallon's more than likely going up soon, I think. So, and look, she had a good run as North American champion. And so... you know, we're looking to see her on the main roster soon, probably. But yeah, I mean, that was an excellent opener. And yeah, Stephanie's great. And I'm actually liking her more than Julia, to be perfectly honest.
Rob, you and I are on that hill together, buddy. Yeah. And I don't dislike Julia. Let me be clear here.
No.
But if I had to pick one over the other, it would be Stephanie Vaquer.
I will make it three because I would also say that. But again, Julia's awesome. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're setting a really high bar here.
Yeah, exactly.
I enjoyed this match. And Fallon Henley is one that we don't talk about enough as someone who has really come a long way in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, when she was stuck with, you know, Briggs and Stratton, that was a fine team for what it was. And yes, I called them Briggs and Stratton again. It's become a gimmick. Yeah, but it seemed like she was really trying to find her way. I think I said it last week. She's developed a character that I want to see get punched in the face for all the right reasons. This was a fun match. Stephanie Vaquer, even Tina stopped for a minute. And that's the presence this woman has in the ring. Tina stopped for a minute and looked. But we're both Ren Faire nerds. And her entrance is very much Ren Faire. you know, with the horns and the leather and the coat, the whole deal, just the entrance itself. And then the in-ring is just spot on. She's so damn good. And I thought this was a great match.
So, sorry, I'm dumbfounded because Joe Hendry and Elijah are about to have a concert together. So
is incredible.
It's just wild. I have it on mute, but I believe they're both singing. It's incredible. Yeah, so I'm going to have to go back
TNA and watch has figured it out, man.
Yeah.
Hey, they're cooking with gas, man. So next up on the NXT Vengeance Day card that we were talking about, we have the Tag Team Championship on the line. Faxium, the champions. They did it again, boys. They did it again.
Inamura.
Holy shit. Also, Briggs and Inamura is awesome. That you know, that team up has been hilarious. And they've been doing it right without making it a true joke, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like a, you know, like Inamura is less than or anything like that. So it's cool. But yeah, I can't believe it, dude. Rob, what are we doing? Are we really going to Stand and Deliver and they're going to have their, like, they'll probably have their blow off match at Stand and Deliver, right?
Man. It's almost like I have a hard time believing either of those guys turning on each other, you know, and becoming like a heel or something, you know?
What if they ultimately don't? But okay, let's think about this. What if they ultimately decided that's not what we want to do? Remember, they did something similar with Thea Hale about a year or so ago. True. They inexplicably turned Thea Hale heel, and it lasted a month because I think everybody looked at it and said nobody's buying this.
Yeah,
and they turned her back babyface again, teamed her right back up with Chase.
She did her best, by the way.
Oh, no, it wasn't her fault. It wasn't her fault. Like, Thea Hale leans all the way into everything she does, and I appreciate the heck out of that. But I think they finally ultimately looked at this, watched it play out on TV, and said, no, that's not the direction we want to go, and I wonder if that's what we're doing here.
Maybe. But I have to believe that those two have, like, an absolute banger of a match in them, you know?
Yes. So, absolutely.
We got to get there eventually, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I don't know. They tease the breakup and the, like, them messing up and, like, that. And then they do mess up and they lose the Heritage Cup or they win the Heritage Cup or they lose the titles. And, like, and nothing actually happens of it. But they don't then stick with the fact that, like, whoa, we're bumbling idiots and how do we get away with this stuff? They're not leaning either direction now. So it's just like, what are we doing?
Like, I don't even think they even remotely teased anything that might look like a breakup in this match. I think this was a pretty straightforward match, wasn't it? I don't remember any shenanigans.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, they did suddenly pull back on all this stuff, on all that stuff. So it just seems weird to me now.
Yeah. I want to put over, speaking of Briggs, I want to put over his new look. I dig anything Mad Max, and this gave off real Mad Max vibes. I dig it. This guy has, again, been trying to find a way to break away from the tag team thing that he was doing. I dig it. I'm here for it. I think the guy's an incredible in-ring worker, Josh Briggs is, and I'm hoping that he's going to find a gimmick that kind of sticks with the audience and that he can turn into something.
Yeah, I don't. He's about where he should be because I don't want him to go into like Wastelander territory, like with the Mad Max look, because then it's like, oh, you're just doing Corbin again. But like, because I agree. Like the biker gimmick was working, but it wasn't quite there. And then when he came out for the show, I was like, okay, this is
yeah,
good.
this works for me.
It's again, they took the gimmick and video gamed it. You know, they took his biker, normal biker outfit and were like, okay, make it a video game. Got it.
Yep.
So Next up, after the tag team match, we had a strap match, and Eddie Thorpe beat Trick Williams. So, I guess, man. Look, Eddie is a perfectly fine like worker. He's not. He doesn't do anything for me either way as a character at this point. So and you know, I know Trick's probably going up soon, if not, you know, before WrestleMania. I'd be shocked if if he doesn't make it before WrestleMania, then he's going to show up at one of the shows after, like the week after. So I don't know, man. Fine. They're trying to make, not everything's a hit. Eddie Thorpe, not a hit with me. Rob, what do you think?
Yeah. Like I understand, okay, Trick's going up soon. So you want to put somebody over on the way out. No problem. Eddie Thorpe, maybe something will come out of it. I don't know. But I kind of feel like we're doing the Ridge Holland thing again here,
Ed?
Yeah, unfortunately, I got to echo that sentiment from the two of you and, finish out the trifecta. That being said, I enjoyed this match. And I didn't think the finish, as it were, was all that bad, except for the fact that why are we doing a pinfall in a strap match?
Oh, see, I hate that. I mean,
I like the four corners.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the four, because again, this makes a Trick loss more palatable if we're hitting the four corners, because you can pull some shenanigans on the four corners, but this was a clean as a whistle for the most part. Pinfall in the middle of the ring on Trick Williams. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure what we're doing here. Like I said, the match itself cooked. The guys were working. There was some great work with the strap itself. Trick selling the hell out of things. Eddie Thorpe was selling the hell out of Trick's beating at the beginning of the match. So the bell to bell stuff, I really, really enjoyed. The booking of the match, I'm sitting here scratching my head on.
I'll agree with you, DJ. They didn't just have a match where they were strapped together. The strap was part of the match.
Right, right. And I appreciated that.
A lot of strap matches nowadays, like sometimes that's what it is. Like the guys just kind of have a match and they're like, oh yeah, we are strapped together, so we can't do far away stuff. That's it.
Well, it's one of those things.
Made it violent.
The strap has to be part of the match. And if you're someone who isn't keen on that, don't do the match.
Yeah.
If you're not down with getting your hide tanned, you don't sign up for that match.
So, next up, we had an absolutely comical triple threat match where Austin Theory and Grayson Waller challenged Obafemi for his NXT championship unsuccessfully. It was as cartoonish as you can imagine. The match was a ton of fun, and Oba's going to keep cooking. So, hats off from me. DJ, why don't you give us your thoughts?
I laughed and laughed and laughed. I love watching Obafemi just beat dudes up. And these two guys were the right ones to get in there with him, because they'll bump all night long for him, make him look like $1 million while still keeping themselves fresh and relevant. Because again, when we talk about teams that are teasing breakups, they've been teasing, A-Town Down Under breaking up for months now. And that continued to bubble in this match. Those guys lost nothing by losing, and Obafemi continues to look like a monster.
Bob?
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a fun match. And again, Oba is obviously still learning and progressing. So he still needs some time down there, but I thought they were actually excellent choices to go up against him in this match. And then of course, after the match, we got the, not the shield, but the umbrella.
They're not the shield. They're the barricade.
So, okay. Hang on. Because I'm mad. I'm even more mad because I even defended these guys at the first tease. Because the first tease, it was guys in black with like the skull, masks, skull bandana masks. And everyone's like, oh, the Shield. Oh, and I'm like, okay, they are not the only like group or team or unit in fiction or in real life to use those skull masks. There are a ton of examples in Call of Duty, in all sorts of stuff, and in real life, obviously. So I was like, all right, guys, it's not just the Shield. And the Shield didn't even always wear those things. That wasn't like their trademark thing. They came to the ring with them a couple, a dozen times or so. But, and then, like, we hit the lights. They come out from the corners, and they beat somebody down, and then and they're all dressed in black, and then we hit a team powerbomb move.
Yeah.
I'm like,
now you're okay.
Screwed. Now you're, well, no. Hold on. They're not screwed because, like, the Shield.
No, I'm talking about the Shield. You, came out, you tried to defend them.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Now I'm screwed. Like, I was like, well, okay. And again, they could put all this back in the tube next week. Don't forget the Shield showed up in turtlenecks. Like, and they could show up in some, like, you know, because it's on the front of my brain now, post-apocalyptic more-looking gear, or more-looking gear than that, anyway. And, okay, now we're off to the races. They're different. But holy shit, week one, not a great first impression. So, and what else did we have on the show? Any last thoughts on the Buckler?
No, I got nothing as far as this
goes.
Do
you even know who's in it?
They named a couple of the guys. There are a bunch of performance center people. They may have been people that were on Level Up for a little while. I didn't recognize a single one of them.
Yeah.
Rob? Okay.
Well,
just making sure.
Yeah, one name, was it Dion Lennox or something or other? And I've heard the name. I couldn't tell you who he is. We'll see what happens. You know.
Did you see your boy Dijak, Jason?
No, what do you mean?
he quote tweeted somebody's video from it, and he just said, "I approve." I should have shared that, but I'm like, of all people, Jason would have seen this.
Right, I did. That was amazing. Whatever. We'll make it work.
That's hilarious.
That's what I kept saying about Retribution, too. Yeah, next week, they'll make it work, guys. Don't worry. Next week. Next week, don't you worry. Oh, no, next week, it got even stupider.
Let it play out.
And then they got their asses whooped in their first match, like, you know. The wheels are completely off. All right. Let's get back on track here. Holy Moses. In the final match of the evening, Julia defended her women's title against Bayley, Cora Jade, and Roxanne Perez. They all cooked. It was a ton of fun. I might even say it was match of the night for me. Julia retained. So, you know, not that we didn't expect that. Rob?
It got a little choreography for me. This is me, because I'm the math mathematician guy. So, and math isn't just adding things up, it's also recognizing patterns and things like that. And so I've kind of gotten to a place with where some of these, like, multi-person matches where I've started, like, picking up the patterns a little too well. So, you know, so for me, sometimes, some of the stuff, they can get a little too choreographic for me now, or it's like, oh, well, this is the part where the two people will be outside the ring and then the other two people will be in the ring fighting. This is that part now, you know. So I've started just to kind of recognize that stuff a little too well now with some of these.
Nerd.
Yes, I'm a nerd, okay? Yes. I'm a nerd. Yes, I'm a math nerd. You know what? I can also count to 14. 14 world champions.
All right. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was a very good match. I was surprised initially that Roxanne took the pin, but she's on Raw now. So that was pretty much, that was it for her. So,
yeah, that was her send off.
Yeah, so she's a full-fledged member now.
No harm, no foul.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was happy that they made that the main event. Not hard to do when you want to. Okay. So, but I thought it was an excellent way to close the show. And of course they closed the show with, Julia and Stephanie McCurry both holding up their titles. And so yeah, I thought it was an excellent show and I thought it was an excellent way to end it.
DJ?
I watched this on Sunday because I did date night with my girlfriend on Saturday. And I think I told you guys after I finished it that, you know, we have been trying, this was Jason's idea, to weekly give our match of the year. And at the end of the year, we'll have a final match of the year. And this is either a static list or a fluid list, depending on your taste. And I made the statement on Sunday that I think I found my new match of the year. Okay. And ooh. I stood by that until another match that I just watched this weekend from an entirely different company, which is going to sound odd for me. And we're going to talk about that one here a little bit later, but I thought this match cooked. I thought there were some incredible spots. I thought, you know, Roxanne continues to amaze me. I already knew she was good, but I just to watch her grow in the, what, year and a half, 2 years she's been in NXT? I think 2 years now, I think, is where we're at with her. Just to watch her evolution has been amazing. I think they're in good hands with Stephanie and Julia. Bailey, again, great quarterback to have in there for this match. Just awesome, awesome work. I enjoyed this match very much.
All right. And that concludes our coverage of WWE NXT Vengeance Day.
All right. Well, we are going to go to commercial. When we come back from commercial, we had another big show this weekend, AEW. We're in the land down under. We're not going to get into a lot of the quote-unquote controversial particulars, although I do think we could probably kick around the ring issue just a little bit before we get into it. But before we do that, we are going to go to commercial. And before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over ProWrestlingTees.com. /the chair shot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse if you must. All the t-shirt options that are available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check out the t-shirts there. The starving artists sitting here on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is ProWrestlingTees.com/the chair shot. We'll be right back.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
All right, and we are back, and we are about to talk AEW Grand Slam Australia, and I'm going to kick the elephants in the room right down the road. The first one was how this one started off being what was supposed to be in a major arena in Australia, ended up being in a much smaller venue, and a lot of people gave AEW a lot of crap for that. Man, 15,000 people showed up for a wrestling show. Okay, and you guys know I am the most hypercritical person of AEW on this podcast, if not in the IWC. You know, so for me to be sitting here and defending them should tell you something. 15,000 people showed up. And 15,000 people had a goddamn good time. So starting off there, Jason, let's kick it off here. You've got the card pulled up. Let's talk about this a little bit because I've got some thoughts about some of the matches and about the direction of certain things in AEW right now.
Are you sure you don't want to talk about the bounce house?
If we must. There was some controversy. Well, with the
you know
ring.
What?
This is.
Here's the thing. It was what's the standard size? Because this one was clearly smaller.
God, there's 20 by 20, whatever. 18 by 18. Okay. This was, I think, a 16. Right. I think this was a 16 by 16 ring.
Exactly. Okay, so if AEW's regular, and I'm just pulling numbers out of my ass, is a 20 by a 20, this was a 16 by 16. You could just tell by looking at it, it was a little smaller. Irish whips didn't take as long the whole nine. We watch this stuff every week. You'll notice when the three-point line is a foot shorter.
Yeah.
So, okay. So, first off, with the, everybody's being a nerd about that. No, that's a weird thing to notice. That is a thing to notice. And number two, okay, it was like a bounce house. Like, the guys were – Kenny was sitting in the ring at one point, guys were running back and forth, and he was literally bouncing where he was. It was nuts. However, it becoming this, like, it became this, like, diatribe of just, like, you either are defending the, to like, oh, they got it from this other company, and they didn't know, and all this stuff, and it's, and, like, also, you know, you're on the other side. You're acting like it's the worst thing in the world. Well, no. Here's the deal. Shipping those rings is expensive, okay? I'm not surprised they rented a ring from somewhere else, okay? That's not surprising at all. However, don't compare yourself to the big boys. Stop doing it, because the big boys don't do that. The big boys ship their ring over. So, yes, that's nice you have a cable deal, but you're on – we're different wavelengths, man. So – and that's the other side of it. The folks would be like, oh, so it was smart. They saved money. It's like, bitch, they shouldn't have to save money.
Yeah. For as much as AEW fans like to throw around that Tony Khan has access to billions of dollars for his wrestling company, that is the only thing about it negative that I'll say, is that AEW should have been able to afford and should have had the foresight and the pre-planning to send that thing over ahead of time. If you're worried about shipping, because I know stuff coming into the U.S., we've had some shipping issues lately. And, you know, Tina can attest to this. My girlfriend orders things from Temu and, you know, different things all the time. And there was stuff that she ordered that took 2 months to come in that was literally sitting in customs on U.S. soil for over a month. And it didn't clear customs. So, you know, shipping shit internationally comes with problems. But you are a... AEW's worth billions now. $2 billion. $2 billion was the last I was told AEW was worth. Tony Khan, access to billions and billions of dollars, more money than WWE has. He should be able to ship a ring over for what you are billing to be a major show. Okay, that's the big thing. Two, wrestling companies, the indies do it all the time. Hey, brother, we want to run a show. Who's got a ring? Literally, who's got a ring? I know a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy. This guy knows a guy who has a ring. Hey, can we borrow your ring? It happens all the time. I'm not bothered by that. And I'm not bothered by the size of the ring, because the workers should be able to adjust to that. The ring that I trained in was about the size of the ring that they used on Collision. It was Collision, right?
Yeah.
It was a Collision show. Yeah, the AEW show. It was about the size. That was the size of the ring I trained in. The ring that I ended up ultimately working in was larger. So you get there the day of the show, you're like, okay, this is a bigger ring. So when I'm running the ropes, I'm taking bigger steps. I've got more room to move, which is nice. You know, you've got a bigger canvas to work on. But you should, as a professional, be able to adjust. Because when you're on the indies, you never work the same ring twice. And I've worked in rings that were absolutely structurally sound. And I've worked in things that were glorified bed mattresses. You know,
and that's the other thing of why the people on the other side that are just hating on it and just making fun of it to no end, where it's like, dude, the guys worked in the ring just fine. Like, everybody worked. Well, the matches were not affected by that ring size at all. It was a noticeable thing to me, the fan, but it didn't interfere with the match quality. So,
as a matter of fact, I remember telling you guys, go ahead and finish, Jason. I got to go.
It was just a thing worth noting of just like, oh, that's weird, right? They have a small ring that's really bouncy. This big international show, that's weird, right? And that's really where it should have ended. Like, oh, they didn't get a ring. Oh, that's funny. And then, but it's not this like crime against humanity, because nobody sprained an ankle. Nobody bumped their head. Nobody like missed a spot.
I think Buddy Murphy got hurt, and that's something we can talk about. Buddy Matthews, I'm sorry.
Okay, is that true?
I don't know if that's a shooter or work. I know he posted something on the X app, and then I think they said he quickly deleted the tweet. It was like, well, it was a weird tweet.
And I take a lot of that back, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I have to take a lot of that back if Buddy got hurt.
Right.
But the guys worked well enough.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say is I watched this. I didn't watch it over the weekend because, like I said, I had date night on Saturday night. I watched NXT on Sunday. I think I finished this up. Tuesday night, I finished up the Grand Slam show. And I remember talking to you guys in the text chat, and you guys, that was the discussion, was the ring. And honestly, in the opening match, I really, like, I noticed the ring, but I was paying attention to what the workers were doing. I was actually, for a change, I was watching the wrestling going on my TV, and I wasn't really paying attention to what size ring are they working on. The only thing that stood out to me was the ropes seemed more loose than they normally do for an AEW match, you know, or by AEW standards. That's the only really thing that stood out to me. And then after the fact, I'm like, okay, yeah, that ring does look smaller than what they're used to working in. But I, you know, was nothing that I felt like I needed to rush up on the X app and write out a 3,000 word, you know, essay on, you know, how AEW screwed the pooch by not shipping over a wrestling ring. Like, to me, it was never that important. They found a ring. They worked in the ring. Unfortunately, one guy sounds like he may have gotten injured, but the rest of the show went off without a hitch. It looked a little low budget, especially since they had literally a step stool getting, you know, men and women in and out of the ring. But it didn't really – like, if I'm going to find something to hate on this show about, it's not going to be that. And I've got some things that I'm going to go off about, and it ain't the ring.
All right. Well, first off, we started off the show, because we should get into it, with a tag team match. We Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega against the Don Callis family. Obviously, that is Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher. Kenny and Will were victorious in a it wasn't too bonkers for me. So I actually had a lot of fun with this. And I expected Kenny and Will to win. So, DJ? Here we go. Just say it.
The first 15 minutes of this match, I was like, let's fucking go. This is good shit, pal. The last, because this match went, what, about 22 to 27 minutes, something like that. And it was somewhere, it was over 20 minutes. Because at about the 20-minute mark, I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, okay, now we've turned this into an all Japan kick out palooza. We're hitting our biggest shit, and dudes are still kicking out. And, like, they could have done all of that in the first 15 minutes, and it would have been fine. But we have beat the piss out of each other and beat the dog snot out of each other. Great match. Like, I'm putting over the first 15 minutes. Then we get to the end, and all of a sudden everybody's powered up. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. So the last 5 minutes of that match killed the first 70% of the match for me, unfortunately. I won't say I didn't enjoy it. I'll say I didn't enjoy the last few minutes. And I've got some thoughts about Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, but I'm going to wait until a later match because I'm going to tie a thread here. I'm going to thread a needle here, and I want to see if you guys see what I see.
I almost didn't even care because with that combination of men in the ring, I was like, yeah, that's coming.
So I have a question because I'm ignorant. I don't watch a whole lot of New Japan. Is it Takeshita or Takeshita?
It's Takeshita.
Takeshita. Because, like you said, I'm going on my little white boy frame of reference, not knowing these guys and, you know, obviously not understanding Japanese. Every time Shivani said Takeshita, I'm like, The because to me, I'm sounding it out phonetically. Like, to me, it's Takeshita. And he kept saying Takeshita, and I'm like, and I twitch every time he did it, but if he's pronouncing it properly, then I'm the idiot.
How do you like Takeshita, by the way?
Awesome. That dude's awesome. Like, he was probably my favorite part of the match.
He's awesome.
Yep. So next up, we have the TBS championship on the line.
Jason. What? You did not ask me what I thought of the match, Jason.
And Black History Month, and Jason skips over Rob. God.
I was going to let you do your one big take at the end. No, I don't know.
Trying to delete all the Black History Month stuff now from everywhere, and now you're not letting me talk. What are we doing here?
Hey, man, it's a new era. It's a new era, man. Jeez.
But it's now Blackout Black History Month is what he's doing.
So look, I went into this expecting like the full video game experience. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't particularly bothered by any, even, you know, from them going as far out as they did.
Rob, I think you and I have, because we've upped our, you know, intake of this stuff for, you know, over the last little while. I think you and I have become a little bit desensitized to it.
I mean, well, with them, yes, because
Exactly. With them, we just kind of just go, yeah, okay, here it comes.
Because and we've said before, like with them, they're so good at it that after a while, you're just kind of like, you know what, it's okay.
Right? They get right to the, and that's why I thought the last 5 minutes was so. I was like, I can hand wave it, because they hit that magic point where it's not too ridiculous. It's just like, okay, this is the end of a 2K match, you know, where everyone had their finishers all charged, all five of them.
You guys play 2K way differently than I do.
Yeah, bank them, baby.
I'm a heel, man. My 2K matches usually end up with a chair shot and a table bump.
Yeah. No way. Then unload. Give that, give, make, you know, unload it so much you make Cena blush.
Yeah. But, so for me, yeah, I've gotten to the point where, because like for me, the problem is when you have like the 50 different imitators of those guys and they don't do it as well, and then it just looks like shit. But I mean, yeah, at the point now where I'm good with them doing this type of stuff.
Once in a while, so, it's just fun.
Yeah.
So next up, we had the TBS Championship, Mercedes Moné defended her championship against Harley Cameron. Harley Cameron did not win. Unfortunately, I'm allergic to that result, apparently. All right, somebody take the lead. DJ.
Man, I enjoyed this match bell to bell. I think Harley's got a bit of a ways to go as far as the in-ring work. It was very, very, unfortunately, painfully obvious in some spots that Sasha was carrying her. There was one glaring spot. Sasha basically put herself in a bulldog. And it was so just blatantly obvious. It just did not look good at all. To her credit, though, Harley Cameron is getting all the other things. The character work, the when to do certain things where your character's concerned in the ring. Very, very good. Mercedes, I am going to do that forever, guys. I know it's only been 5 years now.
But something stuck.
Yeah, something stuck. Mercedes, it's a shame that the before the bell ring stuff stinks, because when the bell rings, she's as good as she ever was. Like, she really is. She moves so fluidly in the ring. She looks incredible. I wish she would stop doing that stupid dance pre-match. It looks terrible. It looks corny as hell. But when the bell rings, she still gets it done, man.
Yes, she does. And this match was fine.
It was fine. That was a fine match, and the right person won. I know we can sit here and say, yeah. You deserve it. No, the right person won.
Yeah, she's not quite ready.
She's not there yet. Yeah. She'll get there, I hope, but not this night.
And not for nothing. I mean, like, DJ, your mistake kind of reminds us that's a win, winning a belt from Sasha Banks. Like, that's, you know, I know Charlotte's done it a bunch of times, but other than that, like, it's an accomplishment. You're knocking off an already veritable Hall of Famer. That's a pretty big deal. So no, I kind of do agree. I was rooting for Harley all the way into this, and then watching it play out, I'm like, okay. Yeah, we're not there yet. It's okay. Cause you're saying, DJ, she gets all the other stuff in spades. So it's just a matter of time for the in-ring stuff to catch up. Cause her trajectory has been upwards. So
yeah, rock. If she puts the ring work together, we've got a star.
Oh yeah. Like, if she can just get to the point where she can quarterback a match, like, I'm not even saying give me a 5 stars in the Tokyo Dome, just quarterback your way through a beginning, middle, and end of a match, she will be a star.
Sure.
So, but anyway, next up, we had the Death Rider.
You did it again! You did it again! He's trying to erase Rob altogether.
Fine. Okay, I guess you get to talk. Go ahead, sir. It is Black History Month after all. Go ahead.
Okay. I agree with everything you guys said. I hate that damn finisher.
God, that's the, you know what? And that was something else I was going to say. The last 2 minutes of that match was awesome. And then the finish, I should say.
And it's a huge bummer because she's capable of doing
better,
way better. Like give her some sort of like, I don't know, like impaler driver. Give her it's some sort of snap DDT, some sort of like running, like bulldog kind of deal.
There was nothing wrong with the bank statement.
Yeah,
and exactly. That too. There's also nothing wrong with the bank statement. Like, what's up with that?
Come on, Rob. Sorry, I cut you off, Rob. Go ahead.
Because I think she wanted to do something different. She's in different plays and all, I think. Just change the damn name. You know, okay, so it's not the bank statement anymore. Make it the, I don't know, the money clip or something. I don't know.
I like that. That's good, Rob.
Yeah, but I hate that damn finisher because, I mean, it takes forever to set up. She's got to hook both the arms. She's got to lift the person up, and she's got to spin them around.
And the other person, it's like the Canadian Destroyer. If you do it, unless the Canadian Destroyer is done perfectly, and I don't think Sasha can even do it perfectly to make it work, it looks like the other person's almost doing it to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when someone backpacks on you like that and then puts their shins in the absolute perfect place, locked onto your back, it's like, come on.
Yeah, and
she doesn't do it fast enough to make that part believable. Because if you can just lock it in, snap it, do it, then okay, it works. But man, and again, I'm getting so mad because she's capable of way better. Sorry, the finisher thing.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I hate the damn finisher, and I hate it. Just get rid of that finisher, Mercedes.
Stop trying to outsmart yourself. Just do a DDT something and make it look cool. She's perfectly capable of that.
Because, like, she's really creative, and she always, to her credit, she's, like, always trying to come up with new stuff to do. But, again, sometimes you can, again, I think this is one of those things where you kind of outsmart yourself, trying to be too clever and all of that.
Dance with the lady that brought you. It's okay. Yeah. Bryan Danielson did it. The Rated Edge Super Cope, Adam Hardcastle, did the same thing. He just brought himself over from one company to another. It's perfectly okay.
Super Cope.
Sorry.
The Rated Edge R Super Cope. That popped me.
All right, Jason, you're up. Goodness.
Yes, sir. So after that, we had the Death Riders take on Cope and Jay White. And unfortunately, the Death Riders defeated Cope and Jay White. by submission. I mean, the match was perfectly fine in terms of just like a, hey, let's beat the shit out of each other match. I'm sorry, it was a Brisbane brawl. But again, the Death Riders are just doing nothing for me, man. Yeah. And Cope. Cope. Rob.
Yeah, I thought the match was going fine, and until they had all the run-ins, and it was like a bad episode of Nitro.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Death Riders, just, they're not doing it for me. Please can we move on?
Rob, the end of the promo, he owns this place. Dean owns this place. He owns the seats, he owns the arena, he owns the locker room.
Look, allow it because...
Can we get to the next part of this promo, please? We've been doing this for what feels like forever.
Yeah, I'll allow it because, look, he was given, you know, he was giving a shout-out to his boy by doing the same promo, okay? We can, you know...
I guess, but he hadn't... To me, he hasn't earned... Like, Roman got here and was like, hey, okay, I'm going to take the title back that I never lost, and then I'm going to run the place because I'm the tribal chief. Got it. Mission accomplished. And he proceeded to do so. I feel like the next part, like, yeah, you got your title, and you've been just speaking in riddles, and you're keeping the title locked away because you own it. Like, it's just so... Someone just take the pen away from Dean Ambrose. Please.
It's fucking corny because if you're defending a world heavyweight, if you're defending any championship, and you're having a match, and you're on a show in Atlanta, that fucking belt could be in Tijuana. If you lose the match in Atlanta, you lose the belt. Doesn't matter if you lock it in a vault or throw it in the ocean. You lost the championship. Okay?
Right.
That's it. So that makes the whole, he's hiding the belt, he's holding it hostage. The belt is a symbol of the champion. If you lose the championship match, you're not the champ anymore. The belt becomes irrelevant. So the whole thing was stupid. The match was not good. And yeah, we need to have a discussion about Jon Moxley, because I was told, and I hate this because I was a big Dean Ambrose fan. Like, Dean Ambrose was one of the guys when I came back in, you know, back in 2012 and started watching this shit and decided in 2013 that this is going to be a full-time thing for me. Dean Ambrose was my guy, even more so than Seth Rollins. You know, Dean Ambrose was my dude. You know, I liked his energy. I liked everything he was doing. Yes, some of the, and I'll lean in and agree with some of his argument. Some of the promos they gave him to do when they were scripting his shit was awful. Some of it was awful, you know, and I freely admit that it was not good. But I'm watching him now, and nothing that he's doing right now is good. Like, right now, you know, so who's going to beat him? I don't care. I don't. I honestly am. So, like, Hobbs didn't beat him. Edge didn't beat him. Those were the only two people that I was even remotely invested in toppling Jon Moxley. You know, now it's gotten to the point where I don't care. You know, and what are we doing with Claudio? Like, Claudio was supposed to change the game, and now he's just like a henchman. You know, it tells me that maybe he peaked where he was supposed to, you know, back in the other company.
Yeah.
You know? So this did nothing for me. The highlight of the match was listening to 15,000 Australians sing Edge's or Adam Copeland's entrance music.
Cope.
I'm sorry. The rated Edge Super Cope, Adam Hardcastle. I'm sticking with that.
I'll say this, it never gets old seeing a live audience sing his song.
That was cool.
That
cool moment. The crowd was awesome. Like I said at the beginning of the segment, the crowd was hot. The crowd had a blast, and that made the show just a bit more fun. I did want to circle back around to something because I want to see if you guys see what I see. I told you guys in the chat, you know, we're sitting there asking the question, who's going to beat Moxley? And obviously it's not going to be Adam Copeland. It wasn't Hobbs. I told you guys that I think that they're slowly building towards either Kenny Omega or Will Ospreay to be the one to take him down. But after watching this show and watching a promo with Ospreay and Omega, I think, hear me out. I think, and Rob, you're going to have to go to the Wayback Machine on this one. I think that Ospreay is the Orndorff to Omega's Hogan. There's a heel turn going on here because there's a lot of grab-assing going on from Ospreay to Omega. I think we're going to reach a point where here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's ultimately going to be Omega versus Moxley. Omega's going to beat Moxley, and Ospreay's going to turn on him. And eventually we lead to Ospreay versus Omega.
Okay. Don't hate it.
I think we're definitely heading toward a match between the two. I don't know that Ospreay necessarily going to turn heel on him, but at some point, yes, they're definitely going to butt heads again, and they're going to end up having a match. Probably, my guess would be there's going to be an All In this year.
Yeah. I think Ospreay's leaning too heavily on the, hey, I'm a baby face now, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Because even that one promo, he even called himself babyface Billy. To me, just seemed like there was a bit too much grab-assing going on there.
I guess the only thing is, I think he's one of those people, I think, that they don't really want to boo. So if he does try to act like a heel, I don't think it'll take.
I think it would against Omega. I think if it'll work against anybody, it'll be Omega.
Maybe. They're definitely going to fight each other again.
Yeah.
If you're the booker, you would do it. I mean, you know.
Oh, that's Tony's wet dream right there.
Okay, look, I mean, honestly, we don't know how much longer Kenny has. Kenny, look, one day he's gonna be like the car in the Blues Brothers when they finally got to the building and the whole thing just fell apart.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's gonna be him one day.
And listen, get to that Will match soon, because if everyone has a bump card, no matter how much he's gonna pull that thing out, look at it, and no matter what it says, he's gonna still take the same amount of vicious bumps in that match. So
oh,
let's
yeah, he'll give Will Ospreay everything he's got.
Let's not do this at the end, please. Yeah. Let's do this while the man still has gas in the tank.
Yeah.
So, just a random thought I had. I thought I'd pick you guys' brains on it real quick. Because to me, that's what I see.
No, I totally see it ending that way, too. The match is money.
Yeah.
So next up, we have the AEW Continental Championship on the line. Okada defended his title against Buddy Matthews in what I thought was a fun match. They were beating the crap out of each other. But, you know, end was a little whatever, and tried to come to find out Buddy might have hurt himself. Whatever. But I'm okay with Okada retaining his title. DJ?
Yeah, I thought this match was fun. I think, for Buddy to, injure himself will look to be about halfway through the match and power through it, including still running around on that leg, was really good. I thought Okada's entrance was excellent. I really dug that, where the drone camera went around him and he had the laser lights around him. Really good presentation there.
Rob?
I've finally started to dig way Okada's working now, because he's kind of doing the Randy Orton thing now, the work smarter, not harder. Now, and so I know for some people that's kind of disturbing to see, because, he used to just go all crazy and everything, before, but he did not come over here to, grind himself into powder. Okay. He did not come over here to do that. And so, good on him for, not doing that, because his former coworker, I'm sure Naito,
he's a broken mess, man.
Naito
looks rough.
Yeah. And so good on Okada for, getting over here and deciding to work smarter, not harder. And his former faction mate, Mr. Nakamura, would be very proud. Probably the one who told him to do that.
Okay. Look, brother, come over here, do it this way, you'll live longer.
Good for them. So last up of the evening, we had the main event. Timeless Toni Storm challenged for her once and future title, held by the wonderful Mariah May, the AEW Women's World Championship. Gentlemen, we got another classic, in my opinion, because I don't care. Like the drama of this match and the end and Timeless Toni Storm reclaiming her title. This is the stuff dreams are made of, guys. This is why we watch pro wrestling, because this just perfectly ridiculous character took this wonderful story to its completion. It was beautiful. 5 stars. 10 in the Tokyo Dome, like this perfect stuff. Rob, any thoughts?
Yeah, because it's funny. I watched it the first time I watched it out towards the end. I was like, okay, they're doing the finisher stuff again. But going back and watching it a second time, it's fine. And given the magnitude of this match, like you said, this was all the drama and all the storytelling magic and everything. And I really like both of them as wrestlers and characters. And so, this was just, to me, it was just excellent all around, and it was the perfect match to end the show with.
Yeah, Kick Out Palooza is okay if you earn it, and I feel like they did. DJ?
Yeah, I said earlier at the end of the NXT show, we talked about that the women's four-way was my match of the year. I think this one, the rapture is coming, because I'm about to put AEW over. So you guys, whatever God you pray to, go ahead and make peace, because I'm about to put over AEW, because this was perfect.
It really was, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Here it is. This was perfect. From the vignette and the storytelling in the video package before the match, everything leading up to this, the match itself was, this is every reason why I watch wrestling. These women went out there and told a story in the match with their bodies, and the match itself was nice and snug. It was nice and tight. It was believable. It's every reason why I watch wrestling. And I enjoyed every minute of it, and it's now I think it's slotted out my match of the year thus far in terms of storytelling, in terms of work, in terms of payoff.
I won't argue with you. Like the timeless Tony Storm stuff, man, and this was the grand finale, really. Like whatever she does after this is gravy. Yeah. Like, dude, and the reveal when she was like, it wasn't amnesia, it was me the whole time. Like, whew, man, yeah. All-time stuff.
Well done, all-time great stuff. Really, really it was.
And Mariah, like, played her part, like, is as, like, the, you know, the upstart pupil and then the, you know, the true villain of the story. Like, it worked, and she was great. So, yeah, that was incredible. Rob, or whoever, sorry, we all talked about crossover.
Yeah, I think we all got our stuff in there.
Yeah. Okay, good. Excellent. So that brings us to the end of Grand Slams.
Yeah. All in all, like I said, the Death Riders tag team match, that was the slog for me. I thought the rest of the card was fun. You know, I have to admit that, being a guy who, again, like I've said, has been highly critical of AEW over the last few years, as I've started to watch more of it, and maybe I've just come in at the right time, I've enjoyed at least half of what I've seen from AEW, and that's pretty damn good odds.
Yeah, they've delivered match-wise, and they just, few of the main eventers, I'm like, time to move on.
I will say this, though, only because I have to get my shit in here. Bell to bell, I think I still enjoyed NXT better. You know, and I hate saying that on a show that has somebody like Will Ospreay and a Kenny Omega and a Tony Storm and a Mariah May and a Mercedes Moné, you know, people who are excellent in the ring. I just... There's a feel with NXT when I watch it that's just better. You know, maybe some of the in-ring stuff with AEW you could argue might have been a little better, but I had more fun with the NXT show. Overall, as an overall thing.
Well, because I think, the thing with AEW is, like, the stuff that drags really drags. And so, like, the Death Rider stuff just drags. It's a drag. And I think whereas, not just look, we're e-drones here, but with WWE, for me anyways, there is skippable stuff. But there's nothing, I guess for me, there's nothing really that I would call a drag. And whereas with AEW, there are a few things that are just a drag.
Let me put into perspective what I'm talking about. When I watch wrestling, and I watch wrestling fundamentally a certain way. Like I just talked about the Tony Storm, Mariah May match, and what I loved was the story, the culmination of that story, and the payoff. And what I look for in wrestlers is for them to sell me on the match that's coming. And I'm going to take I'm going to go back to the promo with Will Ospreay and, Kenny Omega, and they're pushing the next match at what's their next big event out there in California? Revolution?
Revolution, yeah.
Revolution. And, you know, Kenny's like, okay, I'm going to have a match with Takeshita, and Will Ospreay's like, well, yeah, I want, Kyle Fletcher in the steel cage.
Yeah.
I understand there, and I know the history between Takeshita and Omega, so I'm invested in that. Nothing about Ospreay's promo sold me on a cage match with him and Kyle Fletcher. Nothing about it. Like, there's nothing that kid said that I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to watch that. By contrast, Sami Zayn on Raw had a promo with Adam Pearce, who's nothing more than an on-screen manager in kayfabe. Okay, I know he's got, you know, backstage stuff that he really does and handles. But on TV, he's the one of the general managers. These two sold me on a match that Adam Pearce isn't even involved in. Because they told a story. They told a story of 20 years of history between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And that's something that hooks me, that brings me in. And Adam Pearce, who's not even in the match, was an important part of that. And to me, that's what gets me hyped up for a match. And I have no doubt that Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher will have one hell of a cage match. Like, bell to bell, it'll probably be very enjoyable. But I also don't care. I don't care because Ospreay didn't sell me a ticket. Verbally did not go out there and sell me that ticket. And we've still got some time. So they may be able to hook me. But as of February 20th, 2025, I don't care.
Well, because I guess the thing is, Will, having heard a bunch of his promos now, he's still selling a performance. Even though, like, so he and Kyle Fletcher have pretty much a blood feud going on, but when he does his promos, he's still selling a performance. Not I'm going to beat the shit out of you, Kyle Fletcher, but I'm going to perform,
And I'm just not down for that. That doesn't sell me on him.
Yeah, like, he's gotten a lot better at talking, but he's still, when he does his promos, he's selling a performance. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing about promos that a lot of people just don't understand. It's not just about the ability to string a bunch of words together in a coherent sentence. It's making that mean something. And I don't think he's quite figured out the emotional connection. Like, I am not I can watch Will Ospreay in a vacuum and say, you know what? That guy is excellent at performing professional wrestling moves. He's athletic as hell. He does not sell me a ticket. Verbally, he doesn't sell me a ticket.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people a controversial take. I know it is. I own that.
I think he's just exciting enough that I want to see what's next. You know? But I'm not like, oh my God, with him.
I'm hoping that I get where you guys are with him because I see the vision. I just don't know if the vision is for me.
Fair.
So guys, I'm good. I think we had a good show. I think we covered both events pretty fairly.
Yeah, and I think so. And all in all, just a very good weekend of pro wrestling last weekend.
Yeah, we got fed, guys. We had two great shows. And, you know, we've got more to come. 2025 is looking hot from all the companies, WWE, AEW, TNA, right on down the line. A lot of really good stuff coming for wrestling fans. And, you know, we're going to be here to cover all of it. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I'm going to go around the room here and thank my co-hosts like I always do, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. Rob, sir, I'm sorry that Jason cut Black History Month right out of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. But Ed, I'm going to apologize on Jason's behalf for not only him, but our listeners.
Hey, man, you saw the election. It's just February now.
It's just February now.
Well, yeah, it's just February now.
Oh, boy.
All right, brother.
DEI still exists here, sir, on this podcast.
God damn right.
They're not going to come in here and take it away from me.
No.
They can't. They can't take away ideas.
No.
That's right.
They can take our lives, but they can't take away our diversity and inclusion and equality.
Like, what?
Rob, thank you. Good show. Good show.
Sorry, I kind of lost it there at the end.
Yeah, we lost the plot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jason, sir, thank you.
Don't get mad at the concept, everyone. All right. This has been a great show, everybody. I hope because Rob was right, we got fed. I have nothing else to say other than I hope you enjoyed the week of pro wrestling, and we will see you next week.
All right. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
Loggers. Pabst Blue Ribbon is a 5. Pabst Blue Ribbon is what you get when you're in a movie and you say, beer, please, and the bartender just hands you a beer. You get a Pabst Blue Ribbon in a mug.
I thought that was Natty Light.
Don't disrespect Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Okay,
it's a perfectly, it's a workhorse beer, okay?
Man, I didn't realize we were going to get like a whole shoot on beer here. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. The recording stopped.
It says you're still recording.
No, I started recording again. I dropped off, the recording stopped, and I started it again. But man, I'm getting shot on about my beer and my beer choices here.
Well, look, I think
there's plenty of shitty beers in that price range. Pabst Blue Ribbon is one of my favorite expressions. There's a difference between cheap and inexpensive. Pabst Blue Ribbon is inexpensive.
Okay.
I think this might be a two Americas situation here. we don't do a whole lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon around, you know.
You don't do PBR?
Not in the places I frequent, okay?
Pop shocker.
You know, it's not that nobody likes it, but
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a white boy hipster beer.
Okay.
DJ, I'm sure you see it consumed at metal shows.
PBR, it's beer drinkers for people who don't really drink beer, but they want to look like they drink beer.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. It's the beer you order in a movie. Like, beer, please, and it just, here it is. Because, you know, that doesn't happen in real life.
Here's where I call myself out. To be fair, I've never actually had a PBR, so they may actually be very tasty, and I don't even know.
Just good, solid lagers. I would tell you to go get one this weekend. They're only two.
Okay, I will definitely not do that, Jason.
Ah, boo.
That's right. I'm totally putting this at the end of the episode because this is hilarious. So, all right, guys, let's try this again.
Okay.
My wife also says you have to try it. She is a fan of PBR, and that, you know, we'll tell you why I married her.
Oh, boy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.